Sojourner, are you ready to walk into a fuller human receptivity and response in the places of your lament? Are you ready for inward and outward walk today? No matter what the walk is going to look like, we are attuning and aligning our inmost being to the outermost things that we might do today, to the outermost things that we will encounter today, the people, the places, and the things. So let's walk through this together. Before we get started in our official walking lesson of this Walk in the Word series, day 16, I want to put out a disclaimer, because we're going into deeper waters of lament when it comes to this lesson. And I have no idea where you are in your personal lament as we communally dare to lament together. But I want to say this: to refuse or to deny or resist lament is war against the purpose of redemptive image bearing. And I say this because it is not our idea, it is not our creation to lament. It is a creation of the capital L, lamenting one. Lament is where we join a holy, an all-loving, all-benevolent, all-good, all-wise God. So how can we know and hear a benevolent God in times of malevolence? I want us to remember that lament is not us sitting by passively and looking at the stuff that destroys. We are becoming spiritual alchemists who dare to let lament be transformed into redemptive, revolutionary connection, revolutionary wisdom, revolutionary art. And it's all redemptive, because in lament we start to take back what was lost, what was stolen, what was misplaced. This is how we let lament speak honorably, boldly, in the brokenness, while being whole. Because wholeness is a part of our identity in the beloved. So even in the brokenness, we are broken from a place of wholeness. I know that that is a conundrum, but brokenness is based on the situation. It's very situational. Wholeness is based on the core of who we are, our being. And that can never be taken away by anything that can cause us to lament. And so that is the disclaimer I wanted to give us for today. All right, beloved, let's do this. What we do here is notice, nurture, and embody soul care in a culture of scarcity, noise, and frenzy. And so that is what you're welcomed into. And anything that we are talking about will always come back to three foundational things that you notice in order to nurture, in order to embody, even more earnestly and intentionally.
Choose to experience and let go of expectations for why you're here. Expectations can prevent us from seeing what's right in front of us. Our assumptions color what's really there. Sojourner, I want you to practice looking at yourself. Really look at yourself past who you've been told that you are, or who you have believed yourself to be, or the part you have played, the roles that you play, the masks that you wear. Let's remove them. Let's remove the prejudgment and critique one layer at a time that normally attach themselves to those very things. I want you to pause and trace with your hand a section of your body. Maybe your face, maybe your hand, your arm, your legs, maybe your thighs, maybe your belly, your chest, your shoulder. But what I want you to do is allow your hand to trace your holy temple. Welcome her. Welcome her creator and sustainer. Get a keen sense of your embodiment as you untether yourself and discover aspects of drawing in the closeness of who you are and who you are becoming because of who has created you and designed you. It is difficult at times because when we do not notice due to hurry, busyness, avoidance, the lies, or dismissal, we will not be attentive to who we really are. And so that is where we want to begin.
Are you ready to jump into day 16 with me? Well, let's go ahead and begin. If you have your book, right at the outset, we are met with the quote from theologian Song Chung Ra, "The American church avoids lament." Let's just sit with that, because lament is one of those things that on a personal and communal level, we squirm about. It is not the place that anyone wants to be in, but there is something in the American church that seems to abhor and resist the presence of lament, deny its space, diminishes its grace. There is grace in lament because it is a gift to be able to deeply and viscerally be so attuned, not just to the experiences around us, but the body that's signaling where we are deeply moved by suffering. The book is called Prophetic Lament, A Call for Justice in Troubled Times. And that book is written by Song Chung Ra, from which that quote comes. He goes on to say on page 24, "For American evangelicals, riding the fumes of a previous generation's assumptions, a triumphalistic theology of celebration and privilege, rooted in a praise-only narrative, is perpetuated by the absence of lament and the underlying narrative of suffering that informs lament." This is really critical because whether you are part of a local faith-based worshiping congregation or not, if you are a follower of Yeshua, a believer in Jesus, a disciple of the bread of heaven, then you are part of the universal church, the global church. And although I highly recommend you find a group, a local group of believers, and in these days and times with COVID-19, it's all online, but there's still community where you're earnestly attached to a people. there must be lament amongst us, because there is suffering in us and outside of us. And how dare we act like it doesn't exist? What kind of ego do we all have to address when we want to deny something as gracious of our God to give us as a way to actually move pain and sorrow through our bodies, literally and figuratively? Lament, grief helps us do that. And so it's really important. Do we have the safe spaces, the daring spaces in our churches, within ourselves, within our friendships, where we can sit in that kind of rubble and hold each other and not intellectualize the situation or the person? That we can get a new vision, reimagine who we are becoming in it. This one is going to be short because I want us to really come in today and then be able to rest from the lesson to align ourselves. But another thing mentioned in the book, Prophetic Lament, A Call for Justice in Troubled Times, is he says, quoting, "To be clear, praise and celebration are the most beautiful things in the world, but we must be discerning not to use them as a veneer, a blanket holding more profound hurt and brokenness. Yes, it's hard to face the truth in our hearts and our world, but lamenting teaches us that facing the truth can hurt, but through the transformation of tears can come hope and a holy boldness to submit to God and his just and benevolent ways." That's that spiritual alchemist's approach that I was talking about earlier in the disclaimer. This reminds me also of a quote from Mama Toni Morrison. She says, "I know the world is bruised and bleeding, and though it is important not to ignore its pain, it is also critical to refuse to succumb to its malevolence. Like failure, chaos contains information that can lead to knowledge, even wisdom, like art." What are we getting at? Lament hurts, but suppressing lament dehumanizes. And I need us to get that, to understand that, whether it's in the circle of our friendships or our workplace, or school, or church, our families, any relationship you have. When you disallow lament, you are also saying, no, do not be human here. Be other than human, but do not be human here. And that is something that we all need to take note of. So how do we heal and rest? There are two things, and then we're going to close with our blessing. One way we heal and rest, and this is in the book, is we permit a healing that allows the suffering of the downcast to speak and cry out. Don't resist it. We talked about that. We embrace the beauty of deep connection that is embedded in the shadows of suffering with Jesus. And that is the key. Is Jesus suffering here because of the nature of his humanity, the nature of his divinity that longs for unity with his creation? Is he suffering here? Will I join him? And that's important to ask, is Yeshua suffering here? And if he is, Who do I think I am if I won't even join him where he is resourcing me and others with abundant grace, even in the disassembling of ourselves? Because there is a redemptive reassembling. Here's another thing in terms of healing and resting in the lament. There is this thing that I really love, neurobiology and all of that stuff I geek out with when it comes to the brain. And there's a book that I have been reading that a friend gave me. It's called Theology of the Womb by Christy Angel Bauman. I'm not sure if I pronounce her middle name properly, but Christy Bauman, B-A-U-M-A-N, Theology of the Womb. And I love how she talks about a few things here in the book that has to do with lament. And before we get into that, I just want us to rest and lean in to our humanity that is expanded when we lament personally and communally. Breathe it out and let the out breath begin to soften you, relax you, resource you in your belovedness. Here to a bench by a little pond under a shaded tree and begin to decelerate as I share a little bit of the excerpt from the book. I hope that whatever you're doing, that you're decelerating now and loosening yourself up and daring to let yourself notice a freedom that maybe you didn't notice earlier. A freedom, remember, if you've been trekking with me, a freedom that tells us about our wide open spaces to move. So I told you that this Theology of the Womb book was a gift to me, and it is truly a gift to me. As I navigate through menopause, and this book is extraordinary. So I highly recommend you put it on your book reading list if you haven't already read it. But here is an excerpt from page 37. And she's telling her story of trauma as a mother. And we all have stories of trauma surrounding our femininity, whether it's motherhood, because we have children or we long for children. But here is part of her story. My mom taught me two things inherently since birth, how to rock and how to hum. There are a few things that are proven in biopsychological research to help aid the hippocampus and calm the limbic system. I want to just pause here, I'm not quoting, because I want you to just know if you're not familiar with the limbic system. The limbic system is where the emotional life is largely housed in the brain. It also is what critically aids the formation of memories, long-term memories, and our sense of smell and sleep and motivation. So I want you to know that. I'm going to reread that. There is research that has proven that the following things calm the limbic system. Essential oils, rocking, I'm now quoting again, essential oils, rocking, tapping, or swaying, and singing, or humming. Post-traumatic stress happens in the limbic system. We know the amygdala turns on the stress response, and the hippocampus turns off the stress response in the brain. And she goes on to talk about her birthing story of her firstborn child who was born stillborn at 41 weeks. And she talks about the annihilating PTSD where she could not sleep. And all she could do was sit in a rocking chair and weep. And she goes on to say, as the weeping began to lessen, I would try to sing a way of comfort. Yet every time, even the simplest lyric would form on my lips, I would begin weeping again. I actually did not sing a worship song for a little over a year after Brave died. The months of my pregnancy with him growing within me were often filled with a song, a few songs that I don't know if I will ever sing aloud again. Worship has always been such an emotional and vulnerable place for me since losing him. When death muted my songs for a long time, I learned to hum. And I want to just pause here because it is so important for us to grasp what she just said. When death muted my songs, it gave rise to a hum. When lament appears to mute you in one area, not because it's trying to oppress you, but it's trying to bring you in, pull you in, and let you know it's okay to not continue something you used to know, you used to do. It's saying, but I'm going to give you something new, something for you now. And so humming is what began to rise to the surface. It had already been there for her. But now it was being summoned from her deep place of lament. And this is the last part I want to read to you. She says, I'm quoting now, humming has a long history. The poet Nikki Giovanni talks about how it must have been a woman who hummed the first Negro spiritual. She says only a woman who did not know all the languages of those locked in bows of the passenger slave ships could have known to settle her people by humming. If you have never heard the hum of a dark-skinned matriarch who is settling her people down, I want you to close your eyes and imagine it. A woman who has birthed and raised her own children, had them stripped from her by death or slavery, can still ground all fears with a resonating buzz and deep hum from her vocal cords. Can you hear it? Humming is a song of Mother God. This sound of God is deep, melodious, and holy. It's in a hum. It is in a hum. If you have never hummed, or it's been a long time since you hummed, I want you to let a hum break forth in you. Don't force it. Just let it come to the surface. Let it be what it needs to be. And let it tell you how to see yourself new in this place of lament that will resource you unlike any other time in your life than where you are right now. Let a hum tell you a story about a God who laments, who sings, who creates, who generates life in darkness. All right, beloved. That is where we will stop today. I learned that when I was a little girl. God has smiled on me. Carry on, Sojourner. We'll end with our blessing. Palms up as a symbol of surrender. Adonai bless you and keep you. Say your name. Adonai make his face to shine, smile on you, say your name, and be gracious to you, say your name. Adonai turn his face toward you, proclaim your name, and grant you, Andrea, now you say your name, Shalom. I just want to say one more thing, and that is, I always list clickable links throughout this series for you to have Bible study tools, the resources you can use for your ongoing excavation in the scriptures. All right, carry on, Sojourner.
Share the Mom's Podcast with your friends.
Jesus is always with your heart, and he loves you. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.